It's been a few weeks, but 2017 is finally here. How do I know? Because companies are buying other companies. There was a slew of acquisition activity this week, which tells me that companies are trying to properly right-size themselves for the coming years. There is no point in belaboring this intro. This week, we are talking about recent acquisitions in the IT space, what that means for these companies in the long term, and how that ties into our major themes of cognitive computing, artificial intelligence, and cloud. I'm Joey Lombardi, and this is Sourcecast, episode 57. Acquisitions are our main story this week, so let's do a summary of what happened, and then we'll actually do some analysis. Hewlett-Packard Enterprise just purchased SimpliVity for $650 million. At one point, this company was valued at over $1 billion, but has struggled in the market over the last few years. This acquisition also has impacts to one of the major competitors for SimpliVity, and that's Nutanix. Nutanix and SimpliVity have been tied at the hip, and now that one has been acquired, will the other be acquired? Are they going to have funding issues? We'll wait and see. Remember that Microsoft Surface Pro that everyone is in love with? And you remember how it has that amazing screen that you can draw on and do all kinds of cool 3D rendering? Well, Microsoft acquired SimpliGon to boost their 3D innovation, and it could help Microsoft simplify the process of capturing, creating, and sharing 3D information. Quip, which is a Salesforce company, has acquired a startup called Unity and Variety. It's really an acqui-hire because the company only has like a handful of people working for it. And Quip and Salesforce are looking to use Unity and Variety to help build the next generation of productivity tools within their platform. Salesforce proper also acquired a company called Twin Prime. This is a company that focuses on machine learning. And as you can imagine, Salesforce is heavily interested in automation and machine learning for their next generation of cloud platform tools. Speaking of machine learning, cognitive computing, and artificial intelligence, Microsoft just bought an AI startup company named Maluba. Apparently, this system can comprehend text at a near human capacity, and it outperforms systems created by both Google and Facebook. This acquisition also brings Microsoft closer to an AI specialist named Yoshua Bengio, who's apparently a pioneer in the field and was working with Maluba and is now becoming an advisor to Microsoft. Google is acquiring a company called Fabric, which was previously owned by Twitter. This company's platform does application analytics, and it's very interesting to see Twitter selling off this asset to Google, as it could be a sign that Twitter is trying to slim down to be acquired. And finally, Oracle has snapped up a company called Apiary, which specializes in managing and monitoring application programming interfaces, or APIs, which, as we know, was part of the lawsuit with Google over the summer with their use of Java APIs. So it looks like Oracle is trying to get their arms around API usage and API tools for the next generation of lawsuits. That was a lot of acquisitions for a week, and the striking piece of information to me is to focus on artificial intelligence, machine learning, cognitive computing, and analytics. It's all about information. All these acquisitions were related to information. So that trend tells me that we are still struggling with managing the mountains of information that we are accumulating and producing right now. Artificial intelligence and cognitive computing, they are just tools that are managing the massive amounts of information that we are producing. In previous podcasts, I said doctors are just struggling with keeping up with the sheer amount of medical information and reports that are coming out every week, every day, and that AI can help them process that information by reading it for them. But businesses create data every second. Every customer's movement, every action, every second, every delay that occurs can be tracked, and it will be tracked. That is the goal for so many companies, is they want to track every movement, every decision that you're making to figure out a way to better sell you things, to monetize your hesitation. Both IBM and Microsoft CEOs have recently gone on record and said the intent of artificial intelligence is to not replace human beings, but to augment and enhance their abilities. And I have mixed feelings about that. For artificial intelligence to truly proliferate, businesses need to see savings. If AI doesn't help you sell your product, it has to help you save money and reduce cost. So for at least phase one of artificial intelligence, there really has to be a conversation about reducing cost, because it costs money to bring this technology into your business. So what is the cost-benefit analysis of bringing in a technology if it isn't going to help you save money and it isn't necessarily going to help you sell things? It could over time by understanding customer behavior, but it won't happen immediately. So you have to have cost savings to augment the cost of bringing this stuff in. Over time, as employees become re-educated, as students become more educated in the use of this artificial intelligence, yes, I think it will create more jobs because people will be more efficient and we can do more things. But in the beginning, As much as they don't want to say it, in order for them to sell it, they have to eliminate jobs. The timing is very poignant, especially for an IBM. A couple of weeks ago, we did SourceCast episode 55, which we talked about job loss, using the example of IBM's replacement of 37 workers in Japan. In IBM's most recent revenue report, they're showing tremendous growth in their five core areas of analytics, cloud, mobile, security, and social. And if you notice, they're not specifically calling out artificial intelligence anymore, because artificial intelligence is the backbone of all of that. And for a company like IBM, for them to be profitable, they have to do more with less. So they're going to eat their own dog food. They're going to turn their Watson technology loose on their own services to make their platforms better, more secure, and have less human beings involved with the day-to-day aspects of it. They're saying that Warren Buffett is finally in the black with his investment in IBM. But there's a long way to go. They're still not offsetting their losses in their traditional markets like storage, which, by the way, it was announced last week that their storage hardware revenues were down almost 10% on the year. Companies like IBM and Microsoft know that the traditional moneymakers, the hardware and the traditional perpetual software licensing models, isn't going to keep them afloat forever. And they're investing in more robust solutions that integrate hardware, cloud, and software, and artificial intelligence into one system. Now, I'm not saying they're doing a great job of combining all of those things and easily selling them to customers. That's still a complicated mess with multiple contract structures just to get a product turned on. But they're shifting there. And it's very telling to me that both Microsoft and IBM received government security ratings for two of their product solutions. Microsoft Cloud received the Pentagon's top security rating for unclassified data for Microsoft's federal cloud offerings. Apparently, Microsoft services were granted level 5 provisional authority. This rating makes Microsoft the first and only cloud provider that can offer a complete DoD cloud solution that is approved at that security level for controlled unclassified information. And IBM just recently re-upped with the U.S. Army for a $62 million cloud deal. The Army project required a Defense Information System Agency, DISA, Impact Level 5 provisional authorization to manage controlled unclassified information. Apparently, IBM is the only company to be authorized by DISA at an IL-5 level to run infrastructure as a service solutions on government premises. So those are both very extremely customer-specific solutions, but there's a reason why both IBM and Microsoft won them, and that they're in a position to win them. And that's why you'll see them continue to acquire smaller companies that can help facilitate winning this type of business. They may not have the ability to drive innovation internally, but they have the capital to purchase companies that will allow them to continue to win business, and as we like to call them, the baseball contracts. And I also think it's very telling from a strategic sourcing perspective that these are the only companies that are able to provide these services to the U.S. government, which is complicated because can the government get off of these services now? As much as I like to make fun of the quote-unquote baseball contracts, they make sense because it gives the government time to incubate another company that could be a potential competitor years down the line. As a whole, these acquisitions don't bother me too much. These companies are being acquired and their services and their products and their information and their knowledge are being put to good use. They're not being shelved to take competition out of the market, which to me is the most egregious thing that a company could do. You're stifling innovation to remain competitive. This was a healthy week for information technology. Companies have capital to spend on smaller companies. Those companies' innovations are being put to good use. And the information technology acquisition lifecycle remains intact. And that's all we have for this week. As a reminder, you can find SourceCast on iTunes, Google Music, and all of your favorite podcasting applications. SourceCast is recorded in bucolic Mantua, New Jersey, and is produced and recorded by me. Music has been provided by Google. Thanks for listening. We'll be back next week.